help for the insurers.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Wall Street has been worried lately about the financial health of bond insurance companies. These guys basically guarantee that debt will be repaid, like the big kid on the playground making sure you get an IOU. But a lot of the debt we're talking about is backed by subprime mortgages. You see the problem? One of the big bond insurers is Ambac. This week, the company reported its biggest loss ever. Now there are reports Ambac could be taken over by billionaire Wilbur Ross within 2 weeks. The news on Ambac helped to boost Asian stock markets overnight. Japan's Nikkei jumped more than 4%. In Europe, the major markets are each up about 1%. Yesterday, the Dow closed up 108, 12,378. The S&P added 13. The NASDAQ gained 24 points. After the bell, Microsoft delivered good earnings and was upbeat on the future. Today, an organic watchdog group is reporting on the benefits of additives in most baby formulas. The Cornucopia Institute says formulas enhanced with omega-3 fatty acids are a marketing gimmick. And as Sarah Gartner reports, they may be even making some infants sick.
Over 90% of infant formula sold in the U.S. is now supplemented with two lab-produced fatty acids naturally found in breast milk. But the Cornucopia Institute says the long-term benefits of these compounds, extracted from algae and fungus, is unclear. Institute co-director Mark Castell is asking the FDA to put a warning label on these products.
There is at least a subset of children in this country that are very, very seriously impacted, in some cases suffering from acute diarrhea for weeks or months.
Castell's group has also asked the Federal Trade Commission to investigate advertising for baby formula containing the additives. Mead Johnson, maker of Enfamil, called Cornucopia's allegations scientifically unsubstantiated. The company said it was still reviewing the report, but said it remained confident in the efficacy and safety of its infant nutrition products. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Trade issues are always a thorny subject. In the Philippines, the government is grappling with a problem involving its largest export, people. It's banned workers from going to Jordan. As Stacey Vanek Smith reports, that's because of abuses Filipinos have experienced there.
About 8 million Filipinos work overseas. The money they send home makes up more than 13% of the Philippines' GDP. But many of these migrants are reporting abuses. 14-hour workdays, withheld wages, and even physical assault. Cornell University labor law expert Lance Compa says their visas make them vulnerable.
They go to work for a single family, and they're basically indentured to that family.
Abuses like these are common throughout Asia and the Middle East, says Nisha Varia with Human Rights Watch. She suspects the Philippines is hoping to pressure Jordan to put protections in place, and she says Jordan will feel the squeeze.
They've become so dependent on migrant workers who take care of their children, clean the house. It feels like a lot of pressure to them when these workers are no longer available.
Varia says a better solution would be to include domestic workers in international labor laws. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with more than 70 national patient organizations to educate and support patients and their families. Online at Medtronic.com. And by Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at GrantThornton.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Two high-profile TV shows are going back into production during the strike by screenwriters. The Writers Guild has an interim deal with the independent studio Lionsgate, which means Weeds, airing on Showtime, and Mad Men, which runs on AMC, will go back to work. The writers also worked out a deal with Marvel Studios, which produces movies like Captain America. In Hollywood yesterday, union leaders and studio moguls talked for a third day. Let's bring in Mike Spire of Variety. Mike, there seems to be some optimism about settling this strike.
Well, at least we're back at the table right now, and that is a far cry from where we were a week ago, because a week ago nobody was talking, and then the directors made their deal. And when the directors made their deal, the writers and the producers looked at each other and said, well, let's get back to the table for informal talks.
So I'm hearing that they've dropped two key demands in these negotiations. What are they?
The writers always had requested, or demanded rather, that they had jurisdiction over everything on television, including animation and reality. And that was always a sticking point with the producers. I mean, the fact that the producers get to keep jurisdiction over something is obviously a big deal whenever there's a negotiation.
So if they were to fix this strike in the next week, is it really going to matter now? I mean, isn't the TV season pretty much already lost?
The TV season, I would say half of it is lost. They could probably get some episodes done in about 3 to 4 weeks, and they could probably, on half the shows, cut some corners, get some things done in a few weeks.
But pilot season has been toasted, right?
Pilot season is the one that's a little bit more troubling in that the studios have already cut ties with a lot of their people on the lot because they just couldn't afford them anymore. That said, pilot season is for next year. So if they have time to even make shows for this year, they certainly have time to order up some pilots for next year. It's just going to be a different process.
Is there still a lot of uniformity, a cohesion within the guild, or have people been starting to fight among themselves?
That depends on who you ask. If you ask the guild, they're going to stand tough and say, our people are standing firm and we're all together. And even the writers will say there's no dissension at all. Of course, you look at the cracks in the armor and you see that all the writers are kind of looking at each other saying, why did the directors make a deal so quickly? Why couldn't we be like that? If our negotiating team on behalf of us doesn't come up with something, we're going to get really angry because it's been weeks now.
Mike Spire, gut check. What do you think is going to happen here?
I think that there will be a deal sooner rather than later. I think the Oscars are a key point. Nobody wants to cancel the Oscars. I think it's a reasonable assumption to think that everyone's talking, and by the Oscars, there's a deal, and we're going to see the Academy Awards.
Mike Spire is executive editor at Variety here in L.A. Mike, thanks so much.
Pleasure.
I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.